Have you heard the myths about building and scaling a successful real estate team? My guest this week, Justin Bozak, is a seasoned real estate professional. He's got over 2 decades of industry experience. And as a brokerage owner and team leader, he's navigated through markets, ups and downs, challenges, and has demonstrated an expertise in building and scaling successful real estate teams. His entrepreneurial journey actually started in the market in 2008, and now he leads a brokerage with 150 agents. And in our conversation, he provides some valuable insights into kind of team dynamics, operational strategies, and some great kind of marketing insights and ideas, and a particular focus as well, of course, on AI. So I think you'll enjoy the conversation that we have, and enjoy. Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Content Marketing Podcast, where we help you build a private following of investors to finance your next real estate investment project. We're here to show you how to create content that people can't ignore and that turns your real estate investing business into a standout success. In each episode, we'll explore the secrets of content marketing for real estate investors. We'll chat with smart people, give you useful tips, and share success stories from others who've mastered content marketing in their real estate investing businesses. We'll cover topics like writing articles, blog posts, ebooks, video, podcasts, email, marketing, online education, social media, graphics and images, and of course, AI. If it's content, we'll have the experts and the insights you'll need. Whether you're learning to tell compelling stories, figuring out social media, or growing your real estate investing business through content, you're in the right place. And now, on with the show. Justin, welcome. Thank you for... You've been in the real estate space for a few years, so you've probably seen some different markets. And the one we're looking at now, I mean, here in Canada, it's not a lot of supply, high interest rates. You know, what are you seeing where you are? And more importantly, I guess, you know, what are you advising clients, or how are you kind of managing what is seems to be another crazy market? Not that it's never crazy, I guess. But.
Right. So we're in New Jersey. You know, so, you know, the one thing is you may hear some things in the media about the market overall, but, you know, each market is different and unique. So you never just listen to the media and take what they're saying and assume that applies to where you're buying, where you live or where you're investing. So, yeah, I mean, the market here is great. We've got about 2 months of housing inventory, which is low. Before COVID, we'd average anywhere between 5 to 6 months. We've been at 2 to 3 months pretty much, you know, since 2020. The supply levels are still low in New Jersey. There's not a ton of new construction here, so you don't see really a restocking or expansion of a housing supply, you know, like you do see maybe in southern states. We're seeing a lot of migration to New Jersey, you know, from other markets. Probably the most major market transitioning or migrating to here would be New York. That's one area where we're seeing a lot of people leave. I mean, as tricky as New Jersey may be, you know, it's half liberal, you know, half conservative. We're kind of split. I'm in the conservative half of the states, but we're seeing a lot of people from Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, even upstate New York, leaving those areas because, you know, because of their laws and regulations. And, you know, the city's kind of going through, you know, some things with migration right now. You know, remote work obviously has become a thing, and, you know, office space is leaving, you know, Manhattan. So that's part of where, you know, jobs aren't necessarily, you know, in Manhattan anymore, or in, you know, New Jersey or further south, you know, or remote. So that's affected the amount of people that could actually, you know, live in New Jersey and then also work with, you know, maybe a New York company.
Right.
So kind of like a suburb of New York within an hour of the city, even though I'm by the beach.
Right. So it's still kind of commutable if you needed to go in.
Yeah, trains, buses. Yeah, I mean, right. A bus ride about an hour and a half. Train rides, you know, maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on, you know, where you're getting on. Car, you know, door to door, probably same thing. You know, hour and a half, depending on kind of where you're leaving from. There's ferries and stuff. So yeah,
right. And now we were talking before we jumped on. You've got a team, or you've built a company with some partners. Now you've been in business 5 years, was it? You were celebrating your 5 year.
So 5 years, brokerage owners. I've been in the business for 21, and we started our team in 2008 when the market was, you know, tricky.
Good time to start a team.
My company closed. My hand was forced. I was a buyer's agent, and I worked with, it was a British company, actually, Foxes. they saw the writing on the wall, I guess, and closed the doors actually in 2007. But, you know, it was the end of 2007. We kind of had to take some time, figure out what we wanted to do. And, you know, I had to join kind of team, make a team out of just, I was a buyer's agent. That's it. I got my buyer leads from the company. So I needed listing agents. I needed the guys making phone calls to get the listings because we were all playing, you know, specialized roles where the listing agent didn't make any cold calls. You know, I would just get buyer leads just coming into me and I would just go 7 days a week. You know, I was showing homes. So we created a team from that. And that was really even before, you know, anybody even knew really what a team was in my belief. I mean, back then it was like maybe you had a husband and wife team. That was it. But they didn't even know what to do with us when we joined. They're just like, all right, whatever. You know, here's some space. Do whatever you got to do. Right. But yeah, it's been a fun ride.
And what are the lessons you've learned from kind of that team environment and then scaling? Because now you're 150 agents, which is, that's a big brokerage. And probably brings its own set of challenges, and as well as obviously the benefits of scaling. But
yeah, so the benefit of a team is still trying to kind of find your specialty role, you know, within the real estate industry. You know, this is something that, you know, I actually was training on last week with my agents, you know, because we have a lot of single agents, you know, that really don't have anything that they can call a specialty or a niche. Because I feel like you can kind of get into the groove, right? If you've got to do marketing, advertising, go on listing appointments, deal with photography, deal with the buyer calls, you know, deal with, you know, setting up descriptions and, you know, websites and things like that, you know, that takes up there's a lot of back end, you know, time. Right. And it's like, well, what are you best at, right? If you're best at meeting people face to face, right, you would want to do that more instead of spending, you know, 60% of your day doing all these other things that, you know, you can almost delegate. You know, so early on, I'm kind of more of a visionary. I like marketing. I like advertising. I love that stuff. And I would always want to do that for the team. But I figured at some point, like, this isn't the best ROI of my time, you know, because I would spend, you know, a lot of time just doing things that I could actually template and then have somebody do, you know. So it's just taking the time to, obviously, number one, hiring, you know, somebody. It took us a couple of years to actually hire our first admin, you know, training them and, you know, just letting them go, letting them work, letting them make mistakes. I mean, I could still oversee things. I still have somewhat control over things, but it's grown to the point where now I have three marketing people just for the office. Then I have another marketing person for the team, and they kind of just do their own thing. I get to see things, but, you know, they know what they're doing. They're better than me at this point. So right. It's good to be able to collaborate with them, you know, too, though, and continue to innovate and do some cool things with the office and with the team. But yeah, I guess that's a good thing about having a team is really understanding what mode can I get into? What specialty can I fit into? Like right now, like what I do is a lot of is new construction. Okay. So new construction, there's a lot of marketing and advertising aspects to it, right? I'm marketing and advertising things that you can't maybe see, touch, or feel. You know, I've got to create the vision. I've got to, you know, we got to do renderings. We got to do maps. We got to do floor plans. We've got to do spec sheets. And we've got to really, you know, have an intricate detail on like how these houses are going to look and what's included. And we're doing like, you know, subdivisions, communities, you know, so it's not just one house here and there, you know, you're talking 20 houses, 30 houses at a clip, you know, so even though I said there's not, you know, a ton of new construction in New Jersey, like, I feel like we have it all where we're at, you know, you're not looking at like 400 home subdivisions or 300 home subdivisions like you might see in like the Carolinas or Florida or Texas or Arizona, where there's a lot of land. There's not much land in New Jersey to be built on. Most of New Jersey's lands has been preserved. You know, contrary from what people may think, you know, if you fly into Newark, you may think like, oh, New Jersey's crazy. It's just all city and, you know, it's all highway. But the majority of New Jersey is actually farmland and pine lands. And a lot of it's preserved, like that South Jersey area. So it's a really, it's a dense area, but it's because of North Jersey. But again, there's not a lot of places to build.
And is that a lot of infill then? Or repurposing? Two or three properties.
Right. Commercial land, you know, a couple acres here, a couple acres there that you can put together, you know, taking a, you know, maybe a farm and converting it, you know, but a lot of the farms are getting preserved now. So yeah, I mean, it's tricky. And that's why, you know, this New Jersey market is still hot. Our prices never went down. You know, I know some places, you know, down south, prices did drop, you know. New Jersey's still a tricky place to invest. You know, if you're looking to buy, you know, multifamily or single family, you know, we were talking about that a little bit before, the rental laws and stuff, you know, so I'm buying in like Georgia, you know, Florida, Carolinas, personally, you know, for myself.
Right. What's the attraction of the southern states for you? What are you seeing as being the opportunity?
Yeah, so growth. So you can still, you know, like, for example, we have a property in Savannah. The ports in Savannah are taking some of the influx or pressure off of Newark. You know, and a lot of truck drivers are down there. A lot of industries are moving there because the flow of trade in and out is better. It's quicker. And then also they're expanding the ports there. Also the infrastructure, there's a lot of space for expansion around that area. So there's a town not far from Savannah called Ellabelle. Hyundai is coming in with a major manufacturing facility. You know, that's on a couple hundred acres. They're going to create at least 3,000 jobs. And then behind that is chip manufacturers and, you know, the battery manufacturers that are coming in behind from Korea. And then you have the ports there, you know, and Savannah is a very strong city as it is. But, you know, for example, 3-bed, 2-bath house, 1600 square foot, you know, we acquired it for like 280 and the taxes are $2,800 a month. I'm going to be able to rent it for $2,200. I'm sorry, taxes are $2,800 a year. I'm going to rent it for $2,200 a month. You know, so, and all, I don't need to go and get what we have in New Jersey is like a CO inspection and register as a landlord and pay all these extra fees. I don't need to go for permits for, you know, flooring and updating things. So it's a very user-friendly area, you know, for people that are, you know, looking to buy and rent, you know, and then, you know, the cash flow increases when you don't have high taxes and don't have high, you know, insurance rates that, you know, takes away from the bottom line, but, and it's affordable. You know, it's right. An affordable for somebody that's blue collar, you know, to be able to move to, you know, in New Jersey. I mean, we're running out of areas where you could buy under 300,000, you know, it's like, you know, a condo, you know, you're not going to get a house really in anywhere that's, you know, quote, in close proximity to like a major metro area. You know, the average house price here now is like, you know, 500,000. So.
Right. Okay. And if somebody's thinking about going from being a single operator to joining a team, what are the things that you would advise, or what is it you'd advise people? What are the things they should kind of watch out for and be ready for? Because I'd imagine it's a very different kind of approach and way of doing things.
So, yeah, I mean, we started with 6 on the team and we're left with 3, you know, so.
Okay.
So there's some stories that go along with that. But I mean, it comes down to really at the end of the day, you know, number one, is that person going to work as hard as you? I don't care what the talent is, you know, because we've had many talented people that were with us and that could use that talent for good. But if they don't have the work ethic and drive, it's not going to last long term. It really isn't. You know, it may last in the short term, but at some point you're going to get frustrated and it's going to blow over and it's just not going to, it's not going to work well. You know, one of our former partners, I mean, again, brilliant, amazing, talented, didn't work as hard as us. And at the end of the day, and knowing where they're at now, hard work always wins, you know, because we had somebody that my partner, Abe, he was making cold calls. He never did listings. He never did buyers. And he was told just stay in the office and make calls. And you can't work with people, right? Because, you know, Abe was like a computer engineer, you know, very smart guy. And now it's like, he's one of the top agents in this market and he just needed the opportunity. He has the knowledge. He has the skills, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you look like or how sharp your tongue is. It's not about that. You know, real estate is more of a consultant thing, in my opinion. You know, you're helping educate people along the way. But yeah, back to the original question. I mean, you know, finding those people that work hard. I'm a visionary. You know, if you're a visionary, you want to have an integrator with you. If you ever read Rocket Fuel, that'll actually help explain, you know, kind of those two things. So Abe's an integrator too. You know, so I have all these grand visions on kind of what we can do with marketing and advertising. And he helps maybe task things or staff things. Like, I'm not really good personally with managing people, but I'm really good with inspiring people. Like, I don't want to hold your hand and do accountability and set up a slideshow to do a presentation with you. But I'll walk you through how to solve problems all day, every day. You know, I'll help you kind of figure out your marketing and advertising pitch and tell you like what you should do based on, you know, maybe what your likes are, what your history is in real estate, you know, give you some really, you know, good advice. That's kind of my role within the company. My other business partner, Tom, he kind of runs the company. He's like the CEO. He deals with like the staff on a day-to-day. He's not out there doing, you know, the marketing or advertising or listing or buying or anything like that. You know, he's dealing more like a CFO and dealing with the staff stuff and human resources, you know, so we needed all those kind of things to kind of create it and be able to, you know, like operate and grow this quickly, you know, because at the same time, you can't have 150 agents and 3 partners like we have and just assume like, oh yeah, all the income coming in is going to come back to us and we can stop selling. Like, me and Abe are still like 2 of the top agents in our company. And, you know, we have to, you know, to kind of offset all the staffing that we've had to do and all the implementation and programs and marketing and things we had to do to build this company, you know, because 5 years, 150 agents, it's pretty quick. You know, we had to buy a building. We're expanding a fourth office. You know, we spent, you know, probably at least, I don't know, $600,000-$700,000 just setting up offices. You know, so that's money that you would think like, oh, cool, this is income. No, it's not.
Right.
Still not convinced that we were making any money off the brokerage side at this point because we're just continuing to scale and grow. And like I tell most of my agents, I have the worst cut in the entire company. You know, when you're talking about splits, like the amount of money I'm bringing in and the amount of money I'm leaving with, you know, but again, it's, I'm setting something up for long term. And that's the thing I think that most people don't understand, that building a brokerage, you know, is more about long term passive income. It's not going to be, you know, something where it's quick money and I can just make all this money off of these other agents. It's really not like that.
Right. I think you've hit on a couple of important things. One is realizing what you're good at and then being humble enough to say, I don't need to do everything. This is what I'm good at and I'm going to buckle down and do that versus, oh yeah, well now I'm the partner, so everybody else should do that. So I think that's a really good point that you've made, is to have that longer term mindset that says, okay, yeah, where are we really taking this? And then having the right people on board. It's, what is it, John Gordon, getting the right people on the bus so that, you know, you deliver on that vision. And therefore, I'm assuming the reason you're probably attracting people is because they see that vision and you're growing because people are saying, yeah, I want to be on that, in that group. I want to be part of that. So what about the marketing side? You've mentioned marketing. What are you seeing? Because that changes it again every 5 seconds. It, you know, this week you've got to be on TikTok. Next week it's probably going to be something else. What are the kind of good basic things for people to be doing? And then what are you seeing as kind of the ability to leverage, or what are you seeing that's kind of working right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you're in real estate, number one, you know, your marketing properties, you know, or your marketing communities, you know, one or the other. You know, I feel, and this is something I've pushed for years, you have to be willing to do video, you know, whether you're on camera, off camera, whatever the case may be. You know, I think video is one of the most powerful things that you can use. And whether it's just, it doesn't have to be on YouTube, you know, it can be on your Facebook or your Instagram. I do have TikTok. TikTok is powerful for marketing and advertising, but having video showcases, you know, a property in a different light than just pictures, right? Because pictures or links to, you know, websites and things, that takes a lot more work, you know, right? Okay. If you're scrolling, you know, and in your leisure time and you just come across something like, there's a cool kitchen, let me just look at it, right? Those are things that actually, you know, help your reach and help your growth, you know, and help you get followers and people that are from the community also, you know, that just see like, that guy's doing a great job advertising. When the market's hot and houses sell quick, I know a lot of agents have this theory that they can put less into marketing and advertising. And I think the inverse. I think that's actually when you double down, because I know that naturally people will do less. So I should do more, knowing that's going to attract people, because people do want you to do a great job, right? Regardless of what the market conditions in, or if houses are selling in a day or a week, you know, or are you putting your best foot forward? Do you have something that can make this property stand out and make it memorable? So I'll spend, you know, up to $1,000 on marketing and advertising, you know, a property, whether it's going to sell in a day, 7 days, 30 days, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, I'm looking at it as that's going to help me grow my social media. It's going to help put more attention on the property. And, you know, with the commissions the way they are, obviously with house prices doubling, like, increase your efforts. You know, most people are, you know, still holding on like, no, I got to get 5 or 6% commission and then I'm going to do less marketing and advertising. It's like, well, how does that work long term? And we saw last year when the volume dropped, you know, a lot of agents are now getting out of the market because they didn't take the time to invest that money that they were making to get future business. And to me, that's what it's all about. The video, the marketing, the advertising, it's all just a commercial for future business. And if you can do that effectively and start branding and you know, increasing your awareness, you know, we do billboards, we do mailers to communities, you know, nice 4-page, you know, color, nice heavy stock material. These are all things like, I'm not worried about my ROI every single year on that. If I break even, great. You know, I'm more worried about like volume, connecting with people and specializing in an area or specializing in a market So that makes me more efficient. And I know when I'm more efficient and I know the product better, only going to turn into more business, you know, to the extent of, you know, this is a great example. I did an open house area in one of my markets where I send mailers, and I ended up doing $3.7 million of business off of that one open house.
Wow.
And that was like, that was three different clients, five different transactions from one open house. I had an agent that was actually telling me open houses don't work. And I'm like, oh, let me
have your open houses.
Yeah. Let me tell you about this one that I did. Maybe you're just not doing them effectively. You know, if you're not an expert in that area and you were walking through, you're just handing out a brochure, you're not finding ways to connect with people. Mm. I can connect with people in that waterfront Jersey Shore market, because I know everything about elevations. I know about flood insurance. I know about all those intricate factors. I know, you know, how close the points are to for boating and things like that. So when you start talking like that, and then the people that are walking through don't have an agent, you know, some are sellers, you know, like the guy next door came over. Hey, he was checking me out. Didn't say I'm the seller from next door. But in a month or two, he became the seller from next door. You know, he was undercover. And then buyers that came through that were just like, hey, can you send me properties? Like, my guy's not sending me properties. He doesn't really know this market. You know, he's just been really just opening the doors for us, but doesn't really, I've been here for 10 minutes and you gave me more information than he has in months. You know, so it's really, you know, spending the time also with the people and making those connections, you know, and taking advantage of after the marketing, you have to double down, you know? So it's like, there's a billboard outside my area where I'm marketing to. I'm sending open houses in that area. I also live in that area. I also volunteer in that area. So I'm very visible in that market. I didn't pick a market. Like, I could have picked another market where I could have made more money, but I have no connection to, right? You know, I go across the island and I'm on the beach. There's $5 million homes there. Guess what? I've never sold one of them. I don't know anybody really in that market. I own the brokerage. It doesn't matter. I have agents that actually do really well in that market. But it's just not something that I know. Right. And could I do it? I could. I'm just so busy with everything else, with the new construction and with these waterfronts. I'm niched in already. You know, I'm so busy. I'm just picking up the phone and I'm just keeping it moving.
And I think you've underlined a good thing there, because part of that is it's not the brand of the brokerage. It's your personal brand, isn't it, that people are buying into. But how do you balance that when you've got a large brokerage like you have, and you've got individuals that want to build their personal brand? What kind of balance do you try and find?
Yeah. So the one thing with the brand of RE/MAX is being able to walk into the door and really not having a conversation about your company is very powerful, because I value time and I very value connection. So if I have an hour of time and I have to spend 30 minutes discussing what my company is, because you never heard of my company, to me, now I only have 30 minutes to make a connection with you with something that is really, that's the most important thing, right? They might want to hear about your company because they just don't know about it and they don't, you know, they haven't done their research on it. But that's not really valuable, honestly, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, marketing, advertising, we all have the same tools to get the house sold.
Mm-hmm.
The connection of the brand, it's trustworthy, you know, the amount of agents in the RE/MAX brand, at least in our market, they're doing a lot of deals. So there's a lot of experience. You see the signs everywhere. So it's like, it's very subliminal. So for me, it just gets me moving, right? It's all about volume. Like I said before, could we do our own brand at this point? Could we make more money? I don't know. I think a lot of our agents in the office would leave, you know, because they know the value of brand. But yeah.
That's interesting, because you do see that, don't you? You see some of the brands where the equivalent of RE/MAX or whoever it is reduced. You kind of look at it and you go, well, oh, I wonder which banner they're under. And then you don't know, because it's hidden in the corner, or that they've renamed it, or they've made a different division of that potentially takes away from the power of the brand that RE/MAX is probably spending millions of dollars a year to put forward.
Yeah. And it's not a question. So if I'm up against two other agents and I'm sitting there and I have an hour to really just dig in on what we do, right, as marketing, advertising, what I'm going to do to help get your house sold, versus like, who's my company and how is this company different than these companies? Like, I don't have any of those conversations. I haven't had to educate anybody on what RE/MAX is. So for me, the value is just that alone. You know, the time just focusing on the seller, you know, what's your problem? What can I do to help you get from A to B, you know, versus, you know, an education on something that, again, really, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know, there are great companies, but I mean, the thing about where we're at is like, you know, RE/MAX is very dominant here. So it's the same thing and with different brands, right? You may have a different brand that you're with. And if you have 25% market share in your market, like same thing, you won't need to educate anybody about your brand. You know, it'll be easier for you to get a phone call. It'll be easier for you to convert a listing if you're up against, you know, a smaller brand. And that's right. Really what it comes down to.
Right. We probably can't have a conversation anymore without talking about AI.
Oh, yes.
I love AI. Tell me how you're kind of utilizing it, what yours and where you see it going, because obviously we're just scratching the surface right now.
So. Oh, 100%. So we actually have, so our marketing team does what we call listing startups. You know, so one of the struggles with some agents that, you know, maybe aren't great literary is the descriptions, right? So that was one thing that they would always, you know, do for some of our agents, obviously for faith. And now obviously ChatGPT, you can give it direction and it could really give you a nice base. You know, obviously you've always got to, you know, change it and alter it a little bit, but it allows you to like get off quick, you know, with your thoughts, right? Sometimes it takes a while to go from task to task and restart and just think about like where you want to go, what do you want to say? And to have something just be like almost a quick starter, it's like, to me, it's like a cup of coffee. It's a jolt, right? It just gets you going. It gets you in the mood. And then you're like, oh, okay. Like that's, even if it's like, there's a few words that ChatGPT spits out and you're like, yeah, that's powerful. Like, that's right. Cool. I want to use that. That's something that I can use. Like to me, you know, it takes like 3 seconds to have that spit it out. So that's one thing we're doing. And obviously asking questions doesn't answer everything. Obviously, you know, you got to be very careful as far as what you're asking ChatGPT, you know, but for marketing purposes, I think it's great. We just started using Opus Pro for video editing. So I do a weekly training with our agents. It's about an hour. And the cool thing is like, they're spending hours cutting clips and figuring things out and back and forth. And, you know, the cool thing about this tech, it's funny, when I told the agents about it, or my marketing team about it, they got a little scared because they love editing. They love right. the process. And they're like, no, don't take this away from us. But it's like, no, it's a starter. It's going to actually, it's so crazy that it actually takes the video and with 30 minutes, it'll actually cut multiple clips and rank the clips based on social media algorithms, based on what you said and how it was said and, you know, how the video looks. And it ranks it with a score. It drops the text overlays on top of it. Again, some of the stuff you have to correct.
Yeah.
But they could correct it within 30 minutes. Like they're not even spending the time watching the full hour of my meeting to start and right. then editing and everything after. And it would take 4 maybe to 5 hours to actually come up with some clips to then send it to me. Now it's like half an hour and I can get some things to put my eyeballs on. And plus it's probably, you know, smarter being that it is pulling some kind of algorithms based on what's actually performing good on social media, which at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, create some content that'll actually perform well on social media.
Right. Yeah. I had a guest on the show just recently and he used to work for Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh yeah. Legend.
And well, I think he said he was employee 325 or something of VaynerMedia. And I think so. 5,000 or 10,000 now or something. And he was saying this V3, as he calls it, viral vertical video is, you're not even seeing half of what's going to be out there going forward because of the tools, that, like you say, like Opus, which it blows me away that it can do it, but hey, it does it. So why wouldn't you use it?
And it's not expensive.
No.
$25 a month.
Right. Yeah, that's it. It's an absolute no-brainer, but
game changer.
I think the challenge for some people though is how do they come up with the content in the first place? I think any suggestions what you know realtors or real estate investors could be thinking about when it comes to long-form content?
So, podcasts, right? Like this, right. You know, that's the start. But yeah, if you have something that you are a specialist in, you know, trainings, you can right. take a half an hour or an hour training and have that cut down into different you know clips. But yeah, it's really what are you passionate about? You know, it doesn't necessarily even need to be real estate related. So you could actually be having some conversations, you know, with some people. And it doesn't even need to be really podcast format. But if you're having amazing, intelligent, you know, visionary style conversations with people over Zoom, right? You could actually take clips from it and use that, you know, for your social media. Nobody needs to know what this is about. Like when I put out my clips, like, I don't even know if people understand that these are actually trainings of my agents.
Right.
To me, it doesn't matter. They're good talking points because they're quick. They're 15 seconds, 30 seconds, maximum a minute, right?
Right.
You know, their thoughts, you know, they're quick little hits, you know, that'll, you know, open people's eyes to like what's really happening or who you are as a person. And I think at the end of the day, like that's probably the most important thing is that they can connect with you, who you are as a person. And now again, it's easier to cross that barrier when you walk in the door, right? Or it's easier for them to the phone to call you because they feel like, oh, I already know how they are. This person is like, this is my kind of person. And I'm not for everybody. You know, I know that. And I don't intend to be for everybody because I've worked with, I started, you know, and when you start in real estate, you kind of have to work with everybody and you figure out who you want to work with. Right. And if you can niche it to that far to now select who you want to work with and have a team and say, everybody else, you know, you're going to get the other people that, and it doesn't even matter about money sometimes. It just matters about like, I can actually identify like personality. And I'm like, nah, this is not a personality I want to deal with because I know what the conversion is with that personality. They don't value me as a realtor. It doesn't matter that I own a brokerage and I've been doing this for 21 years. You know, they think they know more than me. All right, cool. Somebody else have fun with that guy, you know?
Right. And you're letting video do that for you as well, aren't you? Because I could watch you on video and I could say, nah, no, I don't jive with this guy. I'm not interested. Or he seems like an interesting guy. I'm going to kind of go a stage further. And that's what you're saying is it's giving people a taste, a flavor of who you are. And you've said about it doesn't need to be real estate related. And I'm thinking of a local commercial real estate guy here. And he sends out a weekly newsletter, which is highlighting which new restaurants or businesses have opened. But what he then does is it links into, and he's done a walkthrough of that restaurant, or he's done some shots of the meals, and you get a flavor or you get a vibe for what that restaurant's like. I don't think he even buys or sells restaurants. I don't think that's part of what he does. He just loves restaurants and food. And the city has a good food scene, so it's known for it. But then if I'm thinking commercial real estate, he'd probably come to mind because he's satisfied something else that I'm interested in.
It works in multiple facets. So we've done this as well. And it's number one, right? You're now introing yourself to a business owner that's local.
Mm-hmm.
Business owners are influential, right? So that business owner isn't really tied to somebody. I'll do it. It doesn't matter if you are tied to a realtor. It doesn't matter, right? I'll highlight your business either way. But number one, if they don't have somebody, right, you're now potentially the guy, right? That's an interview to me. You know, that's an opportunity. Number two is you're creating content that actually is longer form and what we call is green, right? My property video that I do is only good until that property is sold. I'm not going to continue to post that over and over again.
Right.
But when you're posting something about a restaurant or a park or something like that, that's evergreen. It can live on. You can post it on YouTube. And you can have views on that 3 years down the line. And if you have a cumulative of videos in that area, and now they're like, again, you're the expert, you're niched, you're invested into that area, you're invested into that community. You know, there's value to that. People from out of the area that don't know about those things, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for contents around that area sometimes before they actually even think about buying a house there, before they reach to a realtor.
Right.
You just made it easy, right? You just cut in front of Zillow and everywhere else. Now there's companies that are coming in and they're going to actually create more community content. I know homes.com was just bought by CoStar LoopNet. And I can tell you, they're going to be a force in the residential marketing with advertising and marketing, you know, based on community content. It's pretty cool what they're going to be doing.
Right. And it just reminds me of a story from the Gary V guy. He shared about two realtors that were originally from California. They'd moved to Nashville and they positioned themselves as realtors specializing in Californians moving to Nashville.
There's a niche for it.
And all their content was there. And he was in California. He and his wife were in California. They were thinking of places to go. And that came up and that made the difference for their move. Just the power of that.
That can get you 10 deals right there. You know, because you're now taking something, hey, this is what it's like here, but we found that here we've replaced most of those things that we were used to or accustomed to.
Right.
And that's powerful, right? You know, somebody may make a decision to move there versus a complete other town. Like you could change somebody's life with a video like that. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, Justin, how can people find out more about you? Where's the best place to go?
Yeah, the best way, all my social media links and everything is a website, justinbozak.com. That'll bring it to all my pages, everything that I have going on. There's so much more to what I do day to day other than just real estate. But yeah, if anybody has any questions, you'd like to connect, and you know, more than happy to help anybody out.
Okay, wonderful. We'll make sure that is in the show notes. And thank you for your insights today, and have a fantastic day.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Thanks.